When gardening is part of your life, it brings so much. Healthy eating, the freshest, most local produce, and playing in the dirt. At BonniePlants.com, you'll find all you need to succeed. When you grow Bonnie veggie and herb plants in beds or containers, you'll know where your food comes from. Homegrown veggies and herbs ready for cooking, eating, and enjoying. And you did it. So get growing with Bonnie Plants.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Welcome to the first ever Radio Cherry Bomb Show. We're coming to you live from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn. I'm your host, Julia Tertian. I create cookbooks and I write about food. And the favorite part of what, or my favorite part about what I do, is finding out the stories and meeting the people behind great recipes, restaurants, and more. Every Wednesday, I get to have these conversations live on air, bringing the pages of Cherry Bomb magazine to life by interviewing some of the most interesting women in the world of food. You can listen to the show live every Wednesday at 2 p.m. on heritageradionetwork.org or download it anytime on iTunes. Today, I'm really delighted to have two very, very awesome women in the studio with me. Kate Brashear is the executive director of Edible Schoolyard New York City, and Diana Yen, a food stylist and consultant behind the company The Jewels of New York, whose cookbook, A Simple Feast, is going to be out in just 2 weeks. Kate and Diana, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Kate, I'd love to start by hearing a bit more about Edible Schoolyard. In just a nutshell, can you tell us what the organization is and what its mission is?
Sure. So at Edible Schoolyard, we teach kids about gardening and cooking through hands-on experiences, through spending time with them in schools, and really using the garden and the kitchen classroom as places where kids can learn about their own health, the health of their families, and the health of their communities around them in a really joyful and positive way that changes their relationship with food and with healthy food in a way that's really, really positive.
That's so wonderful. And what is the relationship with the Edible Schoolyard in Berkeley?
So we're an affiliate program of the Edible Schoolyard Project in Berkeley, but we are totally separate. We're separate in terms of our governance. We have a separate board. We're a separate nonprofit. We have kind of taken the inspiration that Alice Waters, who founded the program about 20 years ago, had in Berkeley to teach kids in a really joyful way about food and about growing food. We've taken that inspiration and that philosophy and really made it work for us here in New York City in a very different climate, a different school environment, and in, you know, a way that is suitable for the population.
Absolutely.
We're serving here.
So you took the seed from Berkeley.
We took the seed. We took the inspiration.
Yeah.
And Alice is so amazing. She's such a visionary. So
yeah, we bow to
we
Alice.
We bow to Alice. Exactly.
When did Edible Schoolyard New York City begin?
We've been here since 2010.
Okay, awesome. And how many schools are you in New York?
We are now in two schools in New York. We have one school in Brooklyn in Gravesend, a PS216.
Which is sort of all the way by Coney
Island. All the way out by Coney Island, yeah. End of the F train. and then we have our second site, which we just opened last year, which is in East Harlem, on 120th Street in East Harlem. And then we also do teacher training for teachers throughout New York City. Wow. So we're working with schools all across the city and teaching them about what we're doing.
Wow. And what's the process of how did you decide on those two schools?
So when we first came to New York, we chose the first school in Brooklyn for a couple of reasons. One, it has an incredible principal who's just really enlightened about the work that we're doing and who really wanted to kind of bring this type of education to her students. So she was a big reason we chose the school. It also has a lot of space, which is unusual for New York City schools. So we are lucky enough to have a half-acre garden there. We've also built a kitchen classroom there. And it's a part of Brooklyn that doesn't have a lot of access to open space and fresh food and fresh vegetables. It's a Title I school, which means that it's, you know, a lot of kids in that school are on, they get free and reduced price lunch. So it's a fairly needy population. And we really, here in New York, we're really focusing on working with the most underserved populations.
That's so great that you're able to find space there. What does the curriculum look like in the schools?
Yeah, so we've developed our own curriculum. We teach kids from pre-K through fifth grade at our school in Brooklyn through eighth grade in Harlem. And the curriculum really focuses on being very, very hands-on. So we're teaching kids in the garden and in the kitchen about growing food, planting food, preparing food, and then cooking it. And we bring in math lessons, we bring in science lessons, we're looking at the environment, we're learning about composting, we're learning about health. We try not to focus on nutrition too much. We really want the experience to be joyful and about, like, you know, this incredible experience of growing your own food and then preparing it. So it really looks at different parts of the food system and different parts of environmental education and cooking and gardening in a way that makes it really holistic and focused.
So
on,
it's
on
total,
health.
Like 360
it
degrees.
It totally is, yeah.
I know, as when I was just from an age I can't even remember, I've always loved to cook. And for me, food and learning to cook informed my whole life. And I always feel like it helped me learn to read and it exposed me to different cultures. It helped me learn fractions and recipes. So I think it's so great to be able to expose so many children to that.
Yeah, and as you say, there's so many things that you can learn. When you think of the garden as not just a garden, but as a garden classroom, mm-hmm. you know, we're teaching fifth graders about square foot gardening. So, you know, what can they plant in their one little square foot and what yield can they get from these plants? And then how can they make a salad from those things?
That's
and, you
so
know,
cool.
What dressing do they use and what relationships, what ratios of oil to vinegar and, you know, sweet and salty and garlic. So there's so many, you know, we really see these lessons as a lens through which you can understand the world and your own health and the health of the world around you.
Absolutely. So, and how are the students responding?
They love it. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, the great thing about this kind of hands-on education is that kids just respond so beautifully to it. And the food that we're growing and they're preparing, it's delicious. You know, we're teaching them through their taste buds that this healthy food, it tastes good too. And it's so fun to see the kids. You know, they pick a radish or they pick a piece of lemon sorrel or something that, you know, you wouldn't even dream of them having a good reaction to. And they love it. And they're adventurous and they're excited. And they want to learn and they want to experience these things. And that's what's
they're
so
hungry.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
They're hungry in so many ways.
Yeah.
And it's just such a beautiful thing to see. And the families, too.
I was going to ask, how are the parents involved and what
do they
feel about all this?
Yeah, so we do family cooking classes. So we bring the parents in and we teach them the recipe that we're teaching the kids in the classroom that month. And again, the reaction is just so overwhelmingly positive because, I mean, the parents see that the kids love it and the kids bring it home. You know, the parents tell us that the kids come home and they're the ones who are making the salad dressing for the salad. You know, they're demanding the salad. They're making hummus. They're making things at home. And so for the parents to be able to see that is just, it's great. And the parents love it because their kids are happy and getting this, you know, great experience in school.
Sure. And then when they can in turn help to support that program and be excited about it and keep it going is amazing. I would love to know a little bit more about you and what the day-to-day life is for the executive director of this very wonderful organization.
So my background is not really in nonprofits. I come to this through a very kind of circuitous path, but I really feel like I've found the place I should be. I love what I do. I love our program. I love seeing these kids, how happy this makes them, but not just that, how I feel like this is actually changing their lives in a really profound and beautiful way. And that just, it just fills me with so much joy and passion and excitement for what I do. In terms of my kind of day-to-day, I wear a lot of different hats as executive director. And I think someone who's running a business or running a nonprofit, one of the really fun things about it is that you get to do lots of different things. So, you know, I may be in the morning watching a garden lesson or taking someone on a tour of the garden, talking to donors. Fundraising is a big part of what we do.
Okay.
Yeah, it's sort of a continual process.
You're always trying to grow something.
We're always trying to grow, yes, very literally. You know, thinking about what the future looks like, that's another really fun thing about my job, sort of balancing the day-to-day sort of needs of the organization and how we want to grow for the future.
And how do you want to grow for the future? What are the plans?
Yes, so we have some really exciting plans. I mean, one thing about our program that is, I think, a really wonderful thing is how deeply we are in these schools. You know, we have a lot of staff in each one of the schools. We really affect these kids. But we're just in two schools at the moment, and we want to reach more kids. We want more kids to have this opportunity for this amazing education. And so what we're looking at the moment is how we can grow and how we can change our model and adapt our model so that we can still give kids this type of amazing experience of gardening and cooking, but in a more cost-effective way so that we can reach more kids across New York City. So that's the next stage.
Tell us a little bit more about what it takes just in terms of numbers of people and resources to be in just one school.
Yeah, so we at our school in Brooklyn, for instance, and it's pretty much the same for both schools, we have two full-time garden teachers and two full-time kitchen teachers and then a program coordinator as well. And then we also have a garden manager who works across sites, someone who works on curriculum and sort of develops the teachers and runs professional development, and a program manager. So it's a pretty intensive program that takes a lot of staff to run. So, you know, my goal is to really think about, you know, there's 1.1 million kids in New York City public schools, and we're reaching, you know, about just over 1,000 at the moment with this direct programming. How can we change that? How can we reach
Absolutely.
More kids?
Because,
you know, we see how powerful it is. It's, you know, it's such a beautiful thing. And how can we really integrate ourselves into schools? How, you know, I feel that edible education, we should have that in the schools in the same way we have science or art or math or English. It should be part of what kids are learning at any age throughout their school career.
It's just so proactive, and it answers so many of the problems we're faced with just as a society. And I know we spoke earlier about this Friday, the documentary Fed Up will be released, and I know we both had the opportunity to see it already, and it's incredible. And it really, I know I left watching it feeling like I just want to do something, and it gives me so much relief to know that people like you are actually doing something, and there are places to go if you want to be more active and if you want to support them, whether it's just financially or just really, you know, I bet, you know, schools are Monday through Friday, but a garden doesn't take a day off.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
I'm sure plenty to do all the time.
And that, I mean, the documentary is just so powerful, and it really, I think, speaks to what we do and how important this work is. I mean, I talked about the joy, but it's also a real health issue, and the, you know, you pay now or you pay later in terms of these health issues. And through investing in our kids' education and in educating them about their own health and, you know, the health of the world around them, you know, that's an investment in their future and in the world, you know, our future as people. You know,
Absolutely.
I came out of that movie like just bawling, because I was like, oh my God, this is insane. Everyone should see it.
Yeah, no, there's real, you know, band-aids to these problems that you can put on it sort of temporarily, but, you know, we need huge changes and it needs to be happening in the way that you guys are working. So thank you so much for sharing more about the organization
with us.
Before we go to break, we're going to, I guess, sort of lighten the tune a little bit. We do a Cherry Bomb Rapid Fire Q&A with every guest on the radio. So, Kate, I'm going to start with you. You're going to be our first ever rapid fire. So it's 8 questions, and you just have to answer whatever first comes to mind. No pressure.
Okay.
So number one, sweet or salty?
Sweet.
Sweet. What did you have for breakfast today?
I had toast with almond butter.
That sounds good. What are you reading right now besides Cherry Bomb?
The New Yorker.
If I were to look into your refrigerator right now, what might I be surprised to find?
What would you be surprised to find? Lots of beer, Aperol. Don't know if you'd be surprised to find that. Yogurt. What's surprising? Something rotten, probably in the bottom of my drawers, sadly.
It's so funny. What's your go-to snack?
Almond butter.
And what's your favorite time of day?
In the morning before anyone else has woken up in my house, and it's quiet and beautiful and peaceful.
What hour is that usually?
Around 6:30.
Okay. So early bird. And where do you want to travel to next?
I would like to travel to Indonesia.
Oh, that sounds good. I want to go with you. And number 8, what was your favorite meal when you were a kid?
I really loved baked potatoes with baked beans and cheese. That's kind of my ultimate comfort food. And Marmite, which is a very British thing.
I was about to say you're British. Yeah. So. All right. Well, Kate, thanks again so much for being here and letting us all know more about an organization that means so much to us. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to be back with Diana Yen from the Jewels of New York.
Gardening is part of your life. It brings so much. Healthy eating, the freshest, most local produce, and playing in the dirt. At BonniePlants.com, you'll find all you need to succeed. When you grow Bonnie veggie and herb plants in beds or containers, you'll know where your food comes from. Homegrown veggies and herbs, ready for cooking, eating, and enjoying. And you did it. So get growing with Bonnie Plants.
Hi, and welcome back to Radio Cherry Bomb. I'm your host, Julia Tertian. That was a very apropos ad talking about gardening. We just spoke to Kate Brashears from Edible Schoolyard, New York City. And now I'm really, really excited to speak with Diana Yen. So hi, Diana. Diana, you've been billed as many things, a stylist, a recipe developer, a caterer, a consultant, an author. How do you define yourself? What's your response when people ask you what you do?
It's always hard to answer, but I would say that I mostly do food styling and consulting. Anything in the, you know, sort of home cooking world of food especially is my passion. And I also have a background in design, so that plays a lot into the food that I make. A lot of the visuals come from that background, I think.
That's really cool. Tell us a little bit more about the Jewels of New York, your company, what it is, where is it?
So my studio is located in the Lower East Side, and I basically have a test kitchen and sort of studio area where we shoot food that we make. And I spend a lot of time testing recipes and writing them, and sometimes I'll go out of the studio to do photo shoots and things like that.
So you have my total dream scenario, because I do kind of similar work, but I do it from home. And
you have,
I think,
to come by.
Yeah, for sure. And having a division between those two.
Yeah, I have a little bit of an obsession with collecting objects, too, for shooting on. So I really need another space to store everything. It's almost
a prop closet.
Yes. It's bigger than a closet now. So
that's so funny. I'd love to know a little bit more about you and how you came to love food. Where are you from originally?
I'm originally from Southern California, and I went to school in San Francisco, and that's sort of where I fell in love with going to the Ferry Building and visiting that farmer's market there. And I think, you know, I was in design school, and we would be working late nights, and everyone would be eating bad food, and I decided I need to learn how to cook. And I was on a student's budget, so going to the farmer's market, I could still make out with, you know, really amazing produce, and, you know, cooking simple meals at home and for my roommates was really a fun thing to do.
So it's something that sort of happened a little bit later.
Yeah, it didn't happen. My mom is a, you know, complete, like, kitchen Nazi, so you there's no way, when you have a mother like that that's an amazing cook, there's no way you're going to be able to squeeze in there. So I started learning to cook in college, and now my mother and I cook together. So
I was just about to ask, that's really sweet.
Yeah,
so she lets you have a little space.
Yeah,
now that you've established yourself.
Yeah, and it's really fun because she's really into healthy eating now, and sort of so we can learn from each other, and we have a great time doing that together when I'm in California.
That's so wonderful. That's really cool. I am really, really excited about your cookbook, which I have in front of me, and I can tell everyone who's listening that it's very, very beautiful. It's called A Simple Feast, A Year of Stories and Recipes to Savor and Share. When will the book be out? Tell us.
Officially, it's out May 20th.
Okay, so about 2 weeks.
Pretty soon, yeah. It's exciting to finally be able to share the work that the studio has been producing. because sometimes when you do styling and that type of work, you don't get to share your work publicly. So this is really great to have it all in one book.
That's really cool. And what's the premise of the book?
I would describe it as a storybook about eating through the seasons. So, for example, in the fall, there's going to be an apple-picking story and a menu that's inspired by, you know, what we found and sort of it's just surrounding that experience.
And how long did it take you to create it?
The whole book?
The whole book, yeah.
I would say probably 3 years in total. It took a lot longer than I had imagined. But what was amazing about this book that's different from other cookbooks I've worked on is I actually had that whole year to go on these, you know, trips through the seasons and actually shoot it as I was, you know, experiencing the season to be like, truly inspired by it instead of working off season. So that was really incredible and a good excuse to, you know, sort of enjoy all these activities.
Yeah, I think sort of what's interesting about that, a lot of people might not know, is that a lot of food stories that we, you know, for example, see in magazines or on websites that are, you know, what's coming up, like Memorial Day, like probably there's like a million like Memorial Day barbecue stories and stuff, but those were shot months ago, like not when it was warm out and everything.
Usually working off season. So sometimes if you're a person that, you know, is all about eating seasonally, it can be a little bit hard when you're actually shooting off season. And so it's a real joy to work on something where you are actually, it's real and it's happening as you're, you know, as you're experiencing
Absolutely.
The seasons.
And that's great that you were able to take so much time to do it. So it can really show, because that's not always the case. That's awesome. Did you, so this is your first cookbook.
It is.
Just sort of on your, and you've worked on others, you were saying.
I've worked on others, but this has been a total experience. You know, when it's all yours and you're also doing the photography and the, you know, prop styling, everything together, it becomes all-encompassing. Mm-hmm. And I also worked on the design with my old business partner, Lizelle Arroyo. So that was really fun.
Awesome. Yeah, and all those elements, usually there's, you know, there's people who do one of those things, yeah. and that's their whole profession. So you are a very wonderful one, sort of one-man band, one-woman show.
Yeah, I mean, it probably comes along with being a control freak, but but I'm really happy with it.
That's so cool. Well, you did a really beautiful job. Would you... after going through this process now, it's, you know, it's bound, it's printed, you have it. Would you do it again? Or is it too early to ask you that?
I would love to make more books. Yeah. I think that it's an amazing experience because you get to produce a physical object. You're also sharing, you know, knowledge, you know, all these recipes with other people and hopefully that, you know, they'll be using. And coming up with this, this object at the end of the day feels really amazing in this, like, you know, we're living in such a digital world where people are usually, you know, they're surfing online for recipes. So it's really great to have it in one work. And just to feel it in your hands is really
a
different experience. Yeah.
No, I couldn't agree more. Do you, speaking of recipes, do you have a favorite one in the book? Or is that like asking you like who your favorite family member is?
in the book, let's see. One of my favorite recipes is actually for the steak. And one of my assistants had told me about this recipe that Jamie Oliver does where it's like poor man sous vide, where he throws the steak into the dishwasher to cook.
You're kidding.
Yeah, I mean, it's wrapped, you know, it's with a shrink wrap.
Okay, but it's the cleanest steak in the world.
It's super clean, but supposedly, you know, the dishwasher holds it at the correct temperature so that it won't overcook, and it's always going to be perfectly pink, medium rare, all the way through. So we were really fascinated by that, and our dishwasher got too hot, so we ditched that idea. But I really love that you know, we visited it, and then we decided why not hold the steak, you know, at a very low temperature in the oven, sort of doing the same thing on a rack, and then just, you know, really searing it at high heat in a cast iron to finish it. And I think that would be the, you know, most interesting technique that we discovered while we were making the book.
With some trial and error.
Yeah, a lot of trial and error. Yeah. But I'm sure Jamie's recipe works.
I wonder what kind of dishwasher he has.
I don't know.
That is so funny. I love that story. And how many people are in your studio?
We have a lot of people that freelance, so, you know, it depends on what kind of project we're working on, but I would say between 3 and 6 people usually. And if we're doing a special event, then, you know, we'll have a bigger staff.
And from following you on Instagram, and I know you already know this, but I'm a little bit obsessed with your bunny, whose name is Cleo.
Yes, she's getting a lot of attention right now. And
you bring Cleo to the studio with you.
I do. I started bringing her to the studio. And what's great is I save all of my scraps for her, like my carrot tops and radish tops. And, you know, I used to always complain about composting, but now I have a bunny compost, which is even better.
That's like the most full circle thing I've ever heard of. Or I guess also putting your steak in the dishwasher and then you get to do your dishes while you're cooking, which is really impressive. So your book comes out May 20th. Tell us a little bit more about what's going to happen when your book comes out. I know you're doing something on the 21st.
Yes, we are going to have a launch party in Brooklyn at Powerhouse Arena. And we're doing a discussion with Cherry Bomb.
Oh,
so
perfect.
Carrie and Claudia are going to be there, and hopefully we can talk about their work as well. And we're also going to have an amazing list of sponsors. So for $35, you get a copy of the book, and you get a bunch of bites. And some of the collaborators are going to be Good Eggs, so they're bringing in amazing produce. And there's also going to be Bedford Cheese is doing a raclette station.
Oh, awesome.
And Almondine, One Girl Cookies, Burrow is making a special cake.
So you have like the best of Brooklyn in one place.
Yes, and we were so happy to get that kind of support. And you can buy tickets now at powerhousearena.com under events.
And Powerhouse does some of my favorite book events. And being someone who also works in cookbooks and publishing, it's nice to have venues like that available. Yeah. That's really cool. I'm just looking now because the book retails for $29.95. So for $5 extra, you get all that stuff plus the beautiful book. So that's really awesome.
Yeah, we want everyone to have nice food to eat that night.
So that's Wednesday, May 21st at Powerhouse.
Yes.
Cool. And where can we find out more about the Jewels of New York? Do you have a website?
Yes, you can go to thejewelsofny.com. And we have a recipe section that has all of our latest recipes. And we're actually going to be also launching a store, online store, June, to feature our home collection.
Oh, awesome. That's really exciting. Okay, so now it's your turn for the
quick fire.
Cherry Bomb rapid fire Q&A.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Yeah? Okay. All right. So don't, no pressure.
Okay.
Okay. One, sweet or salty?
Sweet.
What did you have for breakfast today?
I had a green juice.
Oh. You and Kate are both very healthy.
Trying to, because the rest of my day is always a bit more unhealthy. So I promise myself to
if
have
you
a
start
juice.
Strong. Yeah.
Yes.
That's so funny. What are you reading right now besides Cherry Bomb?
Gosh, what am I reading? I'm just reading a bunch of cooking magazines. I can't dedicate to a full book right now. So, yeah, just a bunch of cooking magazines.
And if I were to look into your refrigerator right now, what might I be surprised to find?
The compost pile for my rabbit. She has so much to eat, I don't think she can get through it all.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
I want to see that live one day. What is your go-to snack?
My go-to snack? I love radishes and butter in the spring.
Classic, yeah. And what's your favorite time of day?
Late at night when I get home and it's quiet and I can have a drink and relax.
That sounds good. What do you drink at home?
I love having, I usually have like just white wine or I guess this time of year I love having like a seltzer with you know, Aperol or something like that. So.
That's my go-to, too.
Yeah.
We just snuck in an extra rapid-fire
question. Yeah, no, I love that.
Where do you want to travel to next?
I'd love to go to Peru. Mm. I feel like a lot of my friends have been visiting and bringing back beautiful textiles, and the landscape just looks gorgeous.
Yeah.
So I'd really love to visit.
Yeah, I'm tagging along to Kate's Indonesia trip.
Oh, yeah,
I'm coming with you to Peru. I'm all set. What was your favorite meal when you were a kid?
My mom's duck congee.
Oh, awesome. That sounds really good. Well, Kate and Diana, thank you both so much for being here today and helping us kickstart Radio Cherry Bomb. And thanks, everyone, for listening. Tune in next Wednesday at 2 o'clock for our next episode.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this program on HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.